How many of you here, how many of you were here last night? Okay, I want you to notice. See Virgo?
No.
What? You want to, you have a stomach? See the snake that covers the third of the stars of heaven? On the right? See the cup that's sitting on the belly of the snake? That's the cup that we studied last night based on the book of Leviticus, our numbers. Okay? I just wanted to show you it was there. We'll get to that later. That's
evil right behind it.
Huh?
An eagle.
Well, it's simply a, it's a, well, what it is, but it's a bird eating the flesh of the snake. Now, we're going to spend just a little bit more time. Let me just review real quickly. We studied the main, we studied from the Sphinx, that we know that you start at Virgo and end at Leo because it has the head of a woman, body of a lion. Virgo, and we studied its associated decans, which were Coma, Botes, and Centaurus. Then we studied Libra and its associated decans, which are the Victim, Lupus, the Cross, and the Crown. Now we're studying Scorpio and its associated decans, which are Serpent, the Serpens. It's trying to gain the crown. And the next thing we study is Ophiuchus, and then Hercules. Now, this is the first time in the star map that the serpent appears. Understand? And the reason for this is, it's the crown has been bestowed. You understand? He went from the cross, which is the lowest point in the heavens, to the crown. This is all a picture of Christ. Now, the reason for this is something very, very important. And that is that you're only tested by that which you know you possess. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. One of my temptations isn't to give up being quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. You understand? You are uniquely you. God created you in a particular makeup with a particular genetic and experiential background. And you possess certain attributes. You're never tested by what you don't have. Now, 99%. If you think you're tested by what you don't have, then it is spiritual usury. And it's like Dallas. Dallas, the head of the Bible, the buckle of the Bible belt, only exists because of usury. There's no other reason for Dallas to exist. Dallas exists because of something which the law says is illegal. And what it is it's this idea of being tested by what you don't have. And that is credit or interest or paying interest on what you don't have. You understand? You don't understand. Why is debt so evil from a spiritual standpoint? It's evil because you take possession of something that you don't own at the moment. There's a great word, but I can't remember. You are illegally, by the law, you are illegally taking possession of something you don't own.
You're usurping.
You are usurping that which doesn't belong to you. That's, again, Israel was prevented both from paying interest and from charging interest. Now, whenever you are in a position, and it doesn't matter which arena of your life, it doesn't matter whether it's financial or educational or anything, whenever you are in a position where you are trying to usurp that which you don't have in your possession at that moment, it's by definition spiritual sorcery. Now think about it. It's as though you were a witch sitting in a cauldron and trying to create something by using a mixture of phenomena that doesn't at that point exist. If you read in history books, they tell you that the first money was the first means of exchange or barter was a cow or a goat or something. And then, slowly but surely, because goats were too heavy to carry in your pocket, they developed other little trinkets to represent goats. Well, that's not true. And you can check it out in any reliable upper-level history. That money started out as it wasn't ever for that reason. It was a totem. And the totem represented the fact that it had the seal of the king on it, or it had the picture of something on it, or it had some image of a tribe on it, and the totem that bill represented, or that trinket, or that coin, or that silver, represented the fact that you were indebted, or you were in alliance with that king. You understand? Take out a dollar bill. Well, just, you don't have to take out a dollar bill. Credit cards are even worse, because credit cards are the totem of the company that you own, that you owe the money to. So you are trying to be tested in something that isn't yours. That's why credit is evil. God didn't give a holy rat's anything about whether or not, you know, you're in debt or not, or you owe money or don't owe money from the standpoint of the natural. He cares because it represents a spiritual condition. This dollar bill is a totem. It's worthless. It says, if I give importance to it, that I give more importance to these symbols, these idols that are throughout the money, than I do to the Father. I look, and again, the world, I look to the world. This says, Federal Reserve note. Therefore, it means it's not backed by anything but the word of the government. You understand that? Now I'll show you something. They've stopped making them. But this is a silver certificate. This is a Federal Reserve note. They both look exactly the same, except by law, the silver certificate had to be backed in possession with the silver that was the same amount that this dollar was worth. This, and now this silver certificate, which is dated, it's a 1935 Series E, this silver certificate is worth about $135. You understand? This dollar bill in real money is probably worth about 13 cents. Now, this isn't just, you know, this isn't government finance over there and religious stuff over here. This is all interrelated, and it's all related to that snake. Now, from a, how can I say this? From a Long, from our standpoint, long term is like 40 years, right? That's like one generation. From our standpoint, from the human race's standpoint, the closer we can get back in our dealings with the government and our interrelationships among each other, to the in terms of financial phenomena, to where the thing that we have in our pocket is backed by something real, the closer we are to the defeat of the snake, to the defeat of the evil one, to the defeat of the Antichrist, the one that's in your mind. The farther we get from it, the farther we are away from spiritual truth, and the more we as a people individually and we as a nation are dependent on the tools of the snake, i.e. being tested in something that you don't possess. Am I communicating? Now, last year, without anybody knowing it, anybody in the world, over the last 2 years, the government of Japan did something interesting. The government of Japan, slowly but surely, has purchased sufficient gold and silver to back every yen that they issue. In other words, every piece of money, piece of paper that the Japanese government has in circulation and every one that they are now printing is backed by that corresponding amount of gold or silver in their treasury. Now that's most of you aren't economists, but that's an unbelievable thing to happen. They are closer to a point in time, from our standpoint, they are far closer to being in a condition of spiritual truth, even though modern Christians say they're pagans, than we are. Because they have seen this one basic phenomena that you are never tested in what you don't possess. And any attempt to be tested in what you don't possess is usury. Now, most of you spend almost all of your time worrying about something that you don't possess. So, in truth, what you are doing is being concerned, you're spending usury in your mind. You're spending energy, you're spending your vessel's energy in usury. You are trying to be tested in something that you don't possess. That's why Jesus said, give no thought for the clothes you'll wear. Give no thought for the food you will eat. Give no thought for the place you'll stay. Give no thought in any dimension for tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Am I tying this in? Do you understand? Do you see its relationship to the snake? The first time the snake appears in the star map. The snake is always the vehicle of the testing. He's the one that always causes you to participate in usury, to participate in something that you don't possess. He's the one within you as a temple that has caused you all your life to not be able to live in the now. To always be somewhere else. And the reason you're always somewhere else other than now is because you've expended all of your energies on usury. Please understand this. This is the seminal core of everything in this Bible.
So this is the approach you took with me. Here's something you don't possess.
Right. And that's the way he causes you to lose that crown.
What's the basis of dispensation?
It's the basis of all time-dependent philosophy. It's the basis of all time-dependent religion. It's the basis of all economic woes. It's the basis of all lie. It's the basis of all poverty. Trying to possess something that you don't own. Something, you're trying to be tested in something that you don't possess. This is big time. This is the core of what we're about. That's why I get so furious at you when I see you expend your energies on usury. Because you are permitting this serpent masquerading as you to rob the crown from its rightful owner, namely Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Can you give examples of things that we're testing in the rehab? So
Listen to me. You can't be tested in what you have because he's already passed the test. You then will be resting always. You'll always be in rest. It's like when he drank the cup, he drank it, you drank it too, but you find you're innocent. You don't, as long as you see, I've searched this star map, and I've searched these scriptures, and I've searched the Zohar, the Talmud, the Midrash. I can't find me in there anywhere. All I can find is that snake disguised as me. He passed the test. All you need to do is enter into that rest today. And you don't have a test because he passed it. Now, if you look at the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, every single temptation of Satan to Christ in the wilderness was trying to cause him to be tested in something that he didn't possess at that moment. Or, that's not the way to put it. It was like a preview of coming attractions. Satan said, if you're hungry, turn these stones to bread. Well, a few days later, the real thing was, if you're hungry, turn these stones to bread and the people will make you a king. Well, a few days later, what happened? He fed 5,000 people from nothing and they wanted to make him king. They wanted him, the snake wanted him to lose his value to God by being of value to you. We look at it with a stupid modern religion and we say, praise God, he fed all those people. If God wanted the people fed, he could flip his finger and there would be poverty would be over forever. Hunger would be over forever. All that he had to know that he could do that because he could not be tested in a thing that he didn't know that he possessed. If God wanted the world evangelized, he'd write his name across the sky in neon lights. If God believed in Oral Roberts, Tulsa would be full of 456-year-old billionaires. Do you understand that the kingdom of God has nothing to do with what the world thinks it has to do with? It has nothing to do fundamentally from what you think it has to do with in your closets. Because in that secret place within you, you think God is your errand boy. Am I communicating? And the reason it is, it's all connected back to this struggle here. The snake trying to grab the crown. I think I'm talking Greek tonight.
I'm still sort of reeling over the idea that you can't be tested if you don't have. and that in fact there is no test because he passed the test.
Amen.
I mean, I'm still reeling from the concept that there's no test.
That's why it says.
I've been thinking now for years, it's all the test. It's all the test.
Yeah.
But the test is to see.
There's no test.
That he passed the test, and it's finished. I'm reeling from that.
That's the concept of love, God, and have fun.
That's right. That's why I tell you, love God and have fun.
I hear you say that, but I was hearing you say that.
We were all talking about this is the test. This is the test.
He was going for my toe.
And he didn't pass the test.
Do you understand? This is why Jesus said, "You are they," to his disciples. "You are they that have continued with me in my test." You want to know? The test is not to expend usury.
Where did he say that?
Huh?
Where did he say that?
Luke 22:28. "You are they that have continued with me in my temptations."
With his temptations in the wilderness, you say to expend usury, but it's the same thing as saying to lean on your own arm of understanding.
Right. Now, I want you to stop a minute and think. You've spent a lifetime expending usury. Every one of you. You've spent a lifetime expending energies on something you didn't possess at that moment. Now, what has it got you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, isn't it time that you saw through the lie?
Are you saying that we're only tested in what we don't realize that we already have?
No, I'm saying, the bottom line on what I'm saying is your testing, your warfare is over. It's done. It's completed. That's what he said when he said it's finished. I'm trying to get you to see that all of your life you've expended energies creating a test that doesn't exist. And then you ask God to bless the test that doesn't exist. Huh? You know that?
I know that one pretty well.
You ask God to bless usury. My goal, our only function is that we would be transfigured by the renewing of our mind. That we would see totally and completely the mind of Christ. That means you're at rest. It's finished. Everything's done. You're not tested in what you don't have. Well, what about this? My God, I'm $450,000 in debt when I came in here. Well, screw it. Who cares? Oh, I'm this, or I'm that, or I'm poor me, or I've got this problem, and I've got that problem. Every one of you, Harry in particular.
I agree. Well, we're at it. I do, I agree.
What?
Me in particular.
What was I going to say?
I've spent a lifetime creating bullshit, and mourning over the bullshit, lamenting over the bullshit, trying to figure out how to solve the bullshit, and feeling sorry for myself because of the bullshit, and it's just... bullshit.
Dang.
Was that hearing that? That's a
good command of the English language. I think it's time for him to have his own lobby study. It's time to send you out here.
Wait a minute, you gotta whack her. She just, she said, "I don't understand anything you say, but I understand him."
About it?
You quit.
The whole kingdom built up. You just let your credit go to pot, or
there's no rules to it. Harry was in a particular position that was unique, and that is that he was so dumb, and he had a film company.
Oh, come on, I wasn't dumb.
Dumb. He had a film company, and there's one thing, there's only one thing that you can do where bankruptcy and none of those things help you, and that's not to pay the IRS the withholding tax that you take out for your employees. So he pocketed the money just so he could live on more usury. And so he's $50,000 in debt to the IRS.
Just for debt.
Yeah, it's by your right. He's $75,000 in debt to the IRS, plus about $500,000 in debt to various and sundry folks around the world. Well, there's nothing he can do about it. There is absolutely no way that bankruptcy wouldn't do him any good. Because the bankruptcy, which is within the law, I mean, it's part of the system. We are under this system. It's part of the law. There's no shame in bankruptcy. If you're in debt and all that crap is coming on you, claim bankruptcy. That's what it's about. That's part of the law. It's the way the laws are set up. But he couldn't, because he did the one thing in the system that compounded usury. He not only borrowed in what he didn't have, he spent double what he didn't have to the IRS.
That's not the best part.
Jeez, when you put it that way. Really?
It's really dumb.
Isn't that $6,000 to Robert Tilton?
Well,
now. Oh, yeah. Then. Now, then, when he was whole, his whole life was falling apart, he heard one of these guys preaching a heavenly lottery. And the guy said, if you give X dollars to God, God will give you 100 times it. So, he's $500,000 in debt, so he takes $5,000 he doesn't own, and he gives it to this idiot, thinking he's going to get $500,000 back.
Which would have been just
I mean, this is a real. We got a real rocket scientist here.
Well, it made sense of it.
No.
Well, at the time it did.
I mean, can you see now? Can you get a hint of usury?
I bought the snake oil.
So, what did you do?
He just let it go. He did nothing. He let it go. There's nothing. He had no answer. There was no way. Now, what happened? It's interesting. What happened is those $500,000 of creditors, they just wrote it off and took it off as a tax loss, so there's no more legal debt. The IRS keeps coming out and talking to him every once in a while, and we go out and talk to the IRS, and they literally feel sorry for him. And it would be out of the files except for his dumb Pharisee partner in the deal who keeps paying him $100 a month thinking he's being righteous. All he's doing is keeping the files open.
You know, Harry, at least the skeletons in your closet are interesting.
Well, it's not a skeleton, that's public knowledge.
The skeleton out of the closet.
Okay, anyway.
Only where was the debt paid?
Huh?
Where has the debt been paid over?
What debt?
Tax. What? You're saying the test has already been taken? Yeah.
Jesus Christ finished the course. It's done. The debt has been paid. It was paid in a life. You got to remember something about Jesus Christ. Whether or not, you know, I don't care if you're Persian or anything. He is the desired one of all nations. He is the one that created the world, which includes all the debt, all the stuff in the world. He was the one who, by his power, the world is sustained, and he's the one to whom the world is created for. There is nothing in that environment which permits something that isn't of him. Right? Well, then he come along and he said, this is really dumb. These guys down here are trying to gain something that's theirs already by all their little efforts to make themselves worthy and smart and righteous and all that. And they can't get there from here. They got to pay back all this money, they got to do this, they got to do that. So I'll come, I, the one who the whole damn thing exists for, and who's sustained by, and he dies because of the covenant. And as long as you wake up, like Abraham did from his sleep, see that God made the covenant with you, Even though God knew at the time he made the covenant, it would cost him his life. That's what this is about. There is no thing that you could have done. I don't care if you're Hitler. I don't care if you're me. I'm the worst, you know, in many ways. It's been paid. You don't have to do anything anymore. You don't have to try anything anymore. Well, what about, you know, what about, oh, I owe this much money? Well, if you think you have, I don't care what you do about it. If you feel obligated, then go work to pay it off. I'm not going to give you any little rules. I just want you to see the debt is paid. If you owe $9,000 and have no assets, then, and there's no reasonable way of getting out of it, then under the laws of the land we live in, bankruptcy is a legal, perfectly good thing to do. But unless you do something dumb. But all of it is connected with usury. All of it is connected with the idea that you are trying to be tested. And something that you don't possess. Now, some of you are still doing it. Now you're doing it spiritually. Am I communicating at all?
But trying to be different than we are.
But trying to be different than you are. Now you're doing usury in God's name, which really pisses him off. That's what's so funny about the dollar bill. I mean, it's kind of Federal Reserve note. In God we trust, and it's got all the pictures of, you know, little symbolisms. It has nothing to do with God, but it's got in God we trust. Therefore, they're producing. It's a revelatory of the spiritual condition that you're trying to use spiritual usury because you're doing it in God's name. That really makes him mad. It's called blaspheming the Holy Spirit. It's called taking the name of the Lord in vain. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Immediately after, or shortly after his baptism, is where this picks up in chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted or tested of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now, for most of you, you've heard me say this. For some of you, this is going to sound totally and completely wild. It wasn't Jesus as one body and the devil as another body hanging around walking in the wilderness. It was the mind of the Son of Man, who the scriptures call the devil. You understand that? It was his mind that tempted him, saying, if he knew, he hadn't eaten for 40 days. He knew who he was. His mind knew that he could, by saying the word, turn a stone into bread to solve that hunger. Am I communicating? And so the passions of his being as Son of Man are the impetus for this statement that is ascribed to the devil. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they may be made bread. Okay, now watch. Put man's needs first, is what he's saying. Remember, the serpent has one goal, and that's to make you, or in that case, him, but now you, to be of no value to God. That's what this whole battle is.
How can you be of value to God when you can do
everything? There's two things God can't do.
Okay.
He cannot lie by his nature, and he cannot produce a being to have fellowship with. He cannot have a pal by his word. Because a pal, or in our case, what we're talking about is the bride, that's the mystery, has to have this phenomena that this is a stupid example. I gotta think of a better one. If God came down and said, Lee, go kick the wall, and you knew it was God saying it, well, you'd run over here so fast and you'd kick the wall in a New York minute. Right? Does anybody have any doubts they'd do that? They saw God and God says, kick the wall.
Yeah,
I mean, you'd try, we'd kick the wall. You'd hurt your foot.
Gladly.
That's what religion teaches you that God wants. All religions. Well, God didn't want that. That's stupid. God can create a being by his word that if he kicked the wall would be in, it would be atomic bomb. But what God wants is for you to go kick the wall without him telling you to kick the wall. That's fellowship. Where you know the mind of God so totally that you do what he wants without him asking you to. What he desires. Now that's revealed in every one of you who have ever had children or been around children or been a child of a parent. What your parents wanted from you was not that you would obey them. I mean, they may say they wanted you to obey, but what they wanted was you to grow up in such a manner that you would have common values and you would be able to talk person to person as opposed to adult to child. Now some of you are, recently I finally reached that with my mother. I never reached it with my father. He died before it could happen. Now, God wants the same thing. But you can't know what God wants. You can only know what he doesn't want. And that's why I don't care how grandiose and sincere you are, not one of you can tell me what you want to do. I mean, you got some great idea, but if you get it, then I don't want to do that. The only thing you can tell me is what you don't want to do. Well, that's the process. What happens is, that's why the perception of vanity or futility is so necessary to you as a disciple. You cannot begin the walk of a disciple until you know that your world is futile. As long as you think you have hope in your world, all you'll do is put the name of God on your idols. And you'll create Babylon, you'll become the whore of Babylon. You'll make a decision for Jesus. You understand me? God wants you to want what he wants without him telling you to. But you have to do everything else first. Either by experience or by empathy. That's why you're created the way you are. You understand why I said there's two things God can't do is create. He cannot lie and he can't create instant sons. That's the only reason time and space exists. So that you can know what God wants without him telling you. It's not religion, it's life. It's fun. You'll screw up 1,000 times. By your definition of screw up. By man's definition of screw up. By your friend's definition of screw up. But the scriptures say you can do nothing against the truth, therefore you can't screw up. That's pretty neat stuff. You just live. Honest. And in this process, the end of that process is unfeigned love. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen a whole lot of stuff, and I've been around a lot, and I've never, look right there, there's about 45 of us when we're all together, right? About 15 kids, so there's like 60 of us.
Yeah, it is weird.
I have never in my entire life seen more love than I see here. By the weirdest assortment of people that I've ever seen in my life. Without anybody ever trying to get you to love somebody. I mean, that's really stupid. The end of the commandment is unfeigned love of the brethren. And the only way it can be unfeigned, unfeigned means without hypocrisy. That means you have to risk all every time you open your mouth. That's why most of you don't open your mouth. You go back and hide in your closet until somebody comes along and says, wait a minute, something's wrong with you. That's why the snake loves churches. You know why he loves churches? Because they're big enough so that you can go and sit in a pew and not know anything about the person next to you, so there's no possibility of them turning to you and saying,
what's wrong?
What's wrong? So therefore, it can never be unfeigned love. It always has to be love by liturgy. God hates love by liturgy. The only ones that do love by liturgy are whores. You know, I told you that prostitution isn't just the world's oldest profession, it's the world's only profession. Well, look around. Does anybody doubt that? Huh? Only thing I'm asking you is, are you tired of being a whore? Some of you are tired old whores.
We won't mention
them. Oh, look at
this. Some have gray hair.
Some have gray hair.
Some have no.
All right.
Some have red.
The temptation is put man's needs first. I become of no value to God. And they'll make you king. Okay, look what happened. We're in Luke. Everybody remember we're in Luke, or did you lose your place?
We lost our place.
Go to Luke 4. Luke 4. Luke 4, verse 3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, that's a pretty dumb thing to say. What the hell does that mean?
Can't eat words.
Huh?
Can't eat words.
What he was saying, what the temptation at this point was kind of interesting. It says, put man's needs first and he'll make you king. Now watch. Go to John 6. What? We're going to come back to Luke 4.
John, what?
John 6, verse 15. all of John chapter 6 is about him feeding the 5,000. You got that? You remember that? You don't know that, but he did. He fed 5,000 miraculously. And then verse 14, it says, those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world, the desired one of the nations. And what happened next? When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain, himself alone.
This answers the question I had last night in my head about the waters of jealousy, why God wouldn't have wanted Mary to have to go through that, because if she had she gone through it, she wouldn't have had any problem, and she would have been pregnant, and it would have been an obvious miracle, and they would have heralded the birth of Messiah.
That's right. Now, what's the next one? Let's go back to Luke. If men are healed by man's understanding and their bodies are fed by man's understanding, all you do is make God an etc. God didn't want to be an etc. Now, we've seen all kinds of miracles in here. Miracles. Downright miracles. People healed. All kinds of miracle stuff happen, but that's never preached, right? Seek ye first the kingdom. And the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. For the kingdom of God is within you. By observation means, if you think about it, the kingdom of God doesn't come as a function of the passage of time. Right? There's that word function again.
Yeah. As a job of...
No. Time. As a function of, as a... time is not an instrument if it doesn't come by observation. Time is not necessary to the equation. Linear time is meaningless because it comes not by observation. For the kingdom of God is within you. What?
This is wild. You know, this is the first time that Matthew, I think, is 23, where he says, you know, because you do this for the brethren, you're doing it for me. It's the first time that's ever made so much sense, because it's not the physicalness of what you're doing. It's what you have your attention on.
Right.
Dang.
Okay.
Well. I love it. It's taken years for me to figure that out. That's okay. I'll put this on there later.
Okay, now back to Luke 4. Okay, so the idea of the first temptation was that it would be of... Again, remember, we're talking about that stupid snake trying to grab the crown. You got that? You got to keep your eye... Star stuff. Okay. The snake is trying to grab the crown illegally. Now we're going to find out about Ophiuchus next time we meet. And he's trying to grab that crown illegally here in the wilderness. Now this first one was the idea of being public. Now Jesus is hidden away in a stupid little country, a meaningless country to the powers that be. I mean, if I were God, Jesus would have been born, and he would have, you know, he'd have been the same thing that Judas wanted him to be. Because I mean, I'd like God to be my errand boy. I try to make him my errand boy all the time. I'm real sincere when I try to make God my errand boy. Boy, am I sincere! And God just he's patient. Every once in a while, just to sort of keep me around, he becomes my errand boy. You understand? But so this point here was to be, the first temptation was the idea that that he would be of public value, i.e. they wanted to put some kind of burden on that red heifer. Well, that's another analogy. If you don't understand it, don't worry about it. Now the second one is something interesting. In verse 5, and the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for what? For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Now, interestingly enough, there in the Greek, in the construction of the language, where it says in a moment of time, it means that literally he was riding on a light beam. And he saw all time. He saw, because again, if you, as you approach the speed of light, time depresses. When you reach the speed of light, there is no time. You understand that from physics? I mean, that's... Now, he in effect was sitting out... He was not out of time. He was at the edge of time. That's as far as Satan is permitted to go. And he showed him all the things that were within time. He showed him Pat Robertson wanting to be president. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, brethren. He showed him everything, and all the power, and all the glory, and all the kingdoms. He could have, at that moment, wiped out hunger forever. He could have wiped out sickness forever. He could have wiped out crime forever. He could have wiped out heartaches forever. All the things that you want him to do were, as a person, as a entity, as a hunk of protoplasm, the little things you want God to be your errand boy about, at that moment, all of them in the universe, and all of linear time, were presented to Jesus. And then he said, Satan said this incredible thing, and Jesus didn't deny it. He said, all this is delivered unto me. That's pretty wild. And whomsoever I will give it. Now we see something. Now we see what the Antichrist truly is. The Antichrist, anti doesn't mean against, it means instead of. And it's, the Antichrist is always in Jesus' name, not always. Most of the time. He's in Jesus' name, and his power is based on what he can do for you. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, to worship doesn't mean what you think it means. To worship means to give importance to. Jesus, by definition here, and Satan was tempting him to give importance to something within time, anything, and he showed him all time. And Jesus said, no, I give importance only to the Father. Am I communicating to you?
I never understood why in the Old Testament it says something about don't be dismayed when the evil flourish or whatever. It just didn't make sense. It was like forgiveness. How can you possibly forgive someone? But this explains to me that so-called results in time and space don't mean squat.
That's right. Now, this is the most subtle temptation of all. Because And remember where the scriptures say, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse you or your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Now, the subtlety of this was that you are here in time and space to fulfill the promises of God after the understanding of man. Now, what does that mean? You've all seen, from what we've studied in this group, the Old Testament, about how the promises of God are, how the New Jerusalem and all the promises of God are for that which is out of time, right? You understand that? Because that's where your real identity is, out of time. That doesn't mean sometime in the future, it means out of time now. Now, this tempt's test was to fulfill the promises of God after the understanding of man within time. This is the most subtle of all tests, and this is the one where this is the place you'll get deceived time after time after time. And little things like, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these needful things shall be made unto you. Right? So, well, she's 10. She needs a job. So she had this all this. She had this great idea about, okay, we're gonna do this, this, and this, and then it'll come to this. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you all have it in one way or another. You do this, this, and this, and this will be the result in time. That's all you're capable of seeing. Well, that's what this test was about. You will have the promise. Let me tell you something, folks. You are not what I envisioned when I saw the promises of God about brethren and fellowship and friendship and family. I mean, you are not it. But God in heaven, I wouldn't trade you for anything. And I wouldn't trade what we have. But, I mean, it would not have seemed possible 15 years ago for me to think that this would be the result. Now, whatever it is that you think about in terms of what you would desire, I guarantee you that what you will desire, your desire will be fulfilled, but it won't look anything like you think it will. The temptation here was to make it look like you think it would look. Am I communicating?
Yeah, amen.
Now, the first sign of the dethronement of God, ever and always, is the apparent absence of Satan and the appearance of peace. You can bet that God has been dethroned and the serpent has won the battle. Every time you see, after your own understanding, after the flesh, his apparent absence and the presence of peace. The appearance of peace. Can you see that? Okay. Who would ever have related, in every religion there's a desired one, the desired of the nations, right? Remember we studied the Persians, the Zoroasters were the Magi that sent their prophets to Bethlehem to see the Savior because he was predicted in the stars. Who in the world would have believed that he was born in a little cave, in a little dump? But more important than any of that, how could man have conceived that his end result after the flesh would be in Golgotha? It's impossible. But Golgotha means the place of the skull. So he was crucified in history at the place of the skull, and he's crucified in you at the place of the skull. You don't want to do that anymore. You don't want to crucify the Son of God afresh. Because, and you do that every time you buy the lie. You got it? Okay. The essence of temptation is always to do God's will after your own understanding. And that will always make you of no value to God. I guarantee it. That's what the serpent is trying to do here. The only thing the serpent is trying to do in the final end is to cause you to be without value to God. Now let's go to Galatians 1 and see what Paul said about this.
Oh, is the lie not believing that God's already sovereign over
you? It's the lie. The lie is to believe that there's something left to do. It's finished. There's something left to do for you to be in union with God.
Galatians what?
Galatians 1. Romans. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians.
Ow!
What was that?
Barb was being up here.
That was that.
That's for stepping on the toe.
Slow replay.
1 verse 6. Everybody got there? Chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians. Did you find it? I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not really another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So that's the first witness, that which is preached. And as we have said before, so I now say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now that's the second witness, is the thing that you know, every one of you know, that I can't tell you anything you don't already know, because the gospel was in you before I ever met you. So you received the gospel at Pentecost, when the seed, when the sperma of God was shed on all flesh. He's the gospel, and it's preached to you by the preaching of the cross, and then the two witnesses come together, and it's like, okay, watch. For do I now persuade, no, wait a minute, as we said before, I now say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. And the word accursed there means the one that's eternally cut off. Remember I told you the three words that meant cursed or anathema? One means 7 days, one means 30 days, one means forever. This is forever. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, including you, I should not be the servant of Christ. That's pretty important. What time is it?
935.
Huh? 935. All right. That's enough. You understand a little bit about the snake subtlety? It's totally, the things that I say to you are so wild that either you have to come to the conclusion that I am either totally crazy or right. There's no in between. You can't dismiss it. You understand me? And you have to bear that burden. You have to see whether or not it is. You have to test it. But if you're tired of being a whore, and all of you know you're whores, then there's life. But it costs you everything. Amen? We'll continue to see more of this struggle of the snake to try to get the crown. I want to get, the really interesting one is the next guy, Ophiuchus. That's where we really want to get. Take it large person.